The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Feast of St. Catherine of Siena today. And I thought I'd tell you a little bit about her. Because she is not only one of the greatest saints in the history of our church. Catherine is one of the most important people who's ever lived, even though none of the history books will ever give her credit for what she does. So a little bit about St. Catherine of Siena today. First thing to understand about Catherine of Siena is that she was a prodigy. Catherine of Siena was a spiritual prodigy. You know, she was a Rembrandt. She was a Mozart. God can do that. He can raise up a prodigy. Did you know that Mozart wrote his first piano concerto at the age of 5? At the age of 7, he'd already written a full symphony for a full-stringed orchestra. 7 years old. He's a prodigy. God can do that. Catherine of Siena was a spiritual prodigy. At the age of 5, her parents found her climbing the stairs on her knees, offering up a Hail Mary at each step for the conversion of poor sinners. At the age of 6, she was already having mystical visions of Jesus Christ. At the age of 7, she'd already decided to consecrate her entire life to Jesus in vowed perpetual virginity. Her parents knew that she was unusual, and from when she was an infant, she was different, they said. And yet they wanted her to be normal. They wanted her to get married. And they didn't like this idea of perpetual virginity, so they brought young men over to the house, and they tried to push them in Catherine's direction. Catherine ran the other direction. Brought more men, young men over to the house, and Catherine cut her hair to make herself look as ugly as she possibly could. And they brought more young men over to the house, and Catherine locked the door. Finally, they brought more young men over to the house. Catherine ran upstairs, and her father ran up the stairs after her and around the corner and into her room, where he saw his daughter kneeling in prayer. And by his own testimony, the Holy Spirit descending on Catherine of Siena in the form of a dove. That's when Catherine's father realized that his little girl probably had a higher calling. And it's a good thing, too, because Catherine was born into one of the worst times in the history of the church, the 14th century. Maybe the worst century in church history. It was a time when religious goods were bought and sold like property. When candidates for bishop would secure their appointment with a bribe. And this because it was very lucrative to be a bishop. One did not even have to do anything. You didn't even have to live in your diocese. All you needed was the title of bishop to collect the revenues from all of your lands. It was a time in which 3 different men all claimed to be the pope. Very, very bad time. And when times are bad, God raises up saints. And that was Catherine of Siena. And by Catherine's own reckoning, the worst thing in her time was that the pope lived in the south of France. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but for 70 plus years, the pope lived in Avignon, the real successor of St. Peter, for political reasons largely. The pope lived, and Catherine was convinced this was the worst thing in the history of the church. If she didn't convince the pope to move back to Rome, it would splinter the church beyond recognition. And we can thank Catherine of Siena that that didn't happen. But the way it happened absolutely extraordinary. Catherine of Siena very simply walked to France, walked into the papal apartment, and told the Pope to move back to Rome. And the Pope obeyed. So imagine that for just a second. The most powerful man in the world, the Pope in the 14th century, is addressed by a laywoman. People think Catherine of Siena was a vowed religious. She was a third-order Dominican, which is another way of saying she was laity. A woman with no education. She could not write. She could barely read. A woman with no money, no property, no title, no lands, no nobility, nothing that would make her important in the medieval world, simply walked up to the Pope and told him what to do, and he listened to her. Why? Because she had the power of Christ dwelling within her. And if there's one thing we can learn from the life of St. Catherine of Siena, it's that there is nothing more powerful than Jesus Christ dwelling in a soul. Pope John Paul II once said that the most important thing in the parish is the holiness of the priest. More important than the income, more important than the programs, more important than the organization, more important than the building. Most important thing, and you know by extension it applies to everyone else as well. It's the reason why Catherine made such a difference in her very short life. She only lived to be 33. She started treating plague victims in her hometown in Siena. And people were powerfully attracted to her, and they didn't know why. She developed a following. Picture this, at the age of 16, she had a following of people. They even gave them a name, her little group. They called them the Caterinati, the little followers of St. Catherine. People trusted her implicitly, and they brought to her their personal problems, and they found that she had this astonishing ability to see right to the heart of problems and to solve them as if with the omniscience and power of God. Husbands and wives made up with one another. Friends buried the hatchet. Soon, civic officials and government officials brought political problems to Catherine of Siena, and she would solve them. Bishops and archbishops, cardinals and nobles, all brought their problems to Catherine of Siena. And she had this astonishing ability. And why? If there's one thing we can learn from Catherine, it's the power of holiness. Now, understand this. Catherine's a prodigy. You're not going to be like Catherine. She's the kind of person who comes along once or twice every 1,000 years. But there's one way in which we can imitate Catherine, and that's to understand the power and the importance of holiness. That's what Jesus says right here in the gospel. Who's the one who loves me? The one who does the will of my Heavenly Father. The one who does the will of my Heavenly Father is the one who loves me, and I abide in him, and my Father abides in him, and that's power. It's the most powerful, far more powerful than any human ability, far more powerful than any talent or anything you could possibly be born with. And Jesus himself wants it from you, that he would dwell in your soul. It's very easy to know all about Jesus. All you have to do is read a book. Anybody can do that. But to know Jesus, that's a very different thing. To know him, we have to do his will. And that can be very hard to do. That's why scholars are very common and saints are very few. But you start wherever you are, and you start today. And if there's one thing to understand, it's that the secret of the saints is no secret at all. God's power, God's presence, God's will, God's joy. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us.